ECAC, it's so good to have you here this morning. If you were with us last week, we started off kind of another mini series on divine healing. And that's something that's it's important to us as the Alliance. It's something we talk about. It's part of that logo that we have, that Christ is our healer. And last week, I encourage you to go listen to it on our website if you missed it. We kind of did an overview, how this is something that you can't really ignore. It's not necessarily something we talk about a whole ton, but it's something you can't really ignore because you see examples of God healing people all throughout the Bible. And we worked through this. We worked through from the very beginning of the Bible. We talked about Elijah and Elisha up to the ministry of Jesus. And of course, even moving out of the ministry of Jesus as he sends his church to continue on with this ministry of divine healing. So today's kind of our second parter for this. So again, if you missed that first part, maybe go listen to it. This will probably make a bit more sense. But today, we want to dive a bit more practically into what it means that Christ is our healer and what it means for us as a church, as disciples of Jesus, to pray for the sick and what that can kind of look like for us. Friends, we in the Alliance, we declare that this is not just something that we read about in the Bible, but Jesus is actively our healer here and now as well. As we talked about a bit last week, I acknowledge this is a tougher topic to approach for many different reasons. I think it's a multifaceted topic. There's a lot to this idea that God can heal us physically. And one of the reasons I think this is a complicated topic to address is we can talk about this theologically all day long, and then when a loved one gets sick, this is a very different discussion, isn't it? And this can become a very personal and intimate and very real topic. So we're very aware of that as we talk about this. I'm sure many of us even have wounds where we've prayed for loved ones and they haven't gotten better. And we've seen that, and maybe we're kind of confused about this topic because it's so personal to us. But friends, we're going to look at this today, and we're going to kind of hold that in this space today. We're going to hold that along with this expectation that God can heal us. And I'm inviting us today to hold on to all of that. Because when we do pray for those who need it, who need healing, we pray boldly. We pray with expectation. We anoint them with oil, which we're going to talk about. We pray boldly because Christ is our healer. And we can testify to that even in this room, and yet we can also testify to stories where we haven't experienced that. And we're going to talk today about how that's not this awkward thing, like, oh, did God not show up, or what's going on? We're going to talk about that today, but I invite us today to hold on to both of those things as we explore this big topic here this morning. So walk with me here. This feels like a bit of a paradox maybe as we hold those two together. But walk with me today as we look at this. Last week we talked quickly about how kind of prayers for healing can become skewed, right? We talked about that, like the prosperity movement, it can kind of skew this idea of praying for healing, that's always what God wants, when clearly it's probably not, as we're going to explore. I want to draw our attention to an interesting author. Her name is Kate Bowler. And she wrote a really interesting book, and the title is provocative. Her title is Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. And what makes her really interesting is she's a scholar, she's an academic, and her whole PhD was on this prosperity movement. And she was like obviously deep in that world when she got diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. And this book, it's a very personal and intimate book that she's writing. She's in this like prosperity world and mindset, and she's also dying from this aggressive form of cancer. And this book is her wrestling with that and trying to come to terms with that and trying to understand it and wrestling with all of that. It's a very interesting book. This is a little piece from it I want to read as we kind of talk about how the church responds to sickness. That went to the very end of my slides again. Sorry, leave it. The one with Kate Bowler. I'll read the quote here for us. She says this, My inbox is full of strangers giving reasons. Christians want me to reassure them that my cancer is all part of God's plan. And she's kind of wrestling with this because Christians are coming to her and they don't understand why she would get sick like this, how God could allow something like this to happen. Friends, this is something I think we all can wrestle with. We can wrestle with this idea of suffering and sickness, and when we pray for healing and seek it, but it doesn't always happen 100% of the time. As she kind of explores intimately throughout this book, and as we kind of talk about, yes, God is sovereign over all things, but that doesn't mean that God is manipulating every little thing that happens, I think. Yes, God is sovereign over all things, but we shouldn't necessarily accredit evil in the world to him. Friends, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes there's evil in the world. Sometimes we get sick, and yet Jesus is King. I'm excited as we're kind of ending off the sermon today. We're going to talk a bit about Jesus' response to that suffering. But also, again, as I've been saying, we're holding that along with the fact that we as a church, we boldly pray for healing. Right, we pray and we even walk in the authority of Jesus, who we know can heal the sick, who doesn't just have influence one day in heaven, but who is King today. We know that he works in our world here and now, and we can attest to that here in this very room. When we pray for healing, and we're going to look at kind of a practical how-to today, we're not just doing that as a formality. We pray with great expectation that God is going to move. We have confidence and assurance, and we pray with the authority of Jesus. So today, I keep saying this, I invite us into this tension where we pray for healing. We have this expectation that God is going to move in practical ways, and we also hold on to the fact that 100% of the time that we aren't going to experience physical healing here and now. And sometimes Christ invites us to suffer with him. So last week as we looked at this, there's stories all throughout the scripture of healing. This week, what we're going to do for the next little bit is we're going to look at a few different stories of Jesus in the Gospels, the historical narratives of him and his life and his ministries. Because when you look at Jesus' ministry, healing is a part of it. We can't avoid that. It happens all the time in the healing ministry of Jesus. And as we've talked about, Jesus, he doesn't do amazing things because he's God, but he does them dependent on the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that lives in us, that works in and through us, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is living in and through us. Friends, this is not just the ministry of Jesus, but as we started to look at last week, Jesus sends us out to pray for healing as well. Let me read today from Mark chapter 6, kind of our first story from the Gospels. It says this, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out, two by two, and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. When you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Here's an amazing story of Jesus not doing this himself, but sending out his disciples. Later in Luke, for example, he sends out even more people. It's not just the 12. And as we read about last week, even in the book of Acts, the early history of the church, they go out and continue this ministry. This is not just the ministry of Jesus, but he sends us out to pray for the sick. He sends us out. There's so much to this little passage, and I want to pull out a few things from it. The first one, Jesus, he's really, really specific about what they shouldn't bring. Right? It sounds a little ridiculous. He's like, don't bring anything. Because Jesus is trying to teach his disciples not to rely on anything they have. not to rely on themselves, their wisdom, their knowledge, but to rely on the Spirit, to rely even on His authority that He sends them out with. How dependent are we on things? Even in our own ministries, we can become so dependent on things or specific people or maybe money. We can become so dependent. And I love here, Jesus is teaching us, depend only on the Spirit. Here in verse 7, He says that He gives them authority. We're going to look at that a bit more in a second, but this authority is really important. When we're praying for people, we're not just, it's not just me that's praying, but I am praying with the authority of Jesus. That's what we carry. When we go about our lives, when we do our ministries, whatever you're doing, if you are a follower of Jesus, you carry His authority. And lastly here, at the very end, it says they anoint people with oil and they're healed. We're going to talk about this anointing with oil, but it's starting to bring us into practically, how are we going to pray for healing? So obviously we do this, right? This is stuff we practice as a community. We pray for healing. We pray that God would heal you from sicknesses or whatever it is. We anoint with oil. And friends, I also wonder, what would it look like if this wasn't just a ministry we did within the church, but something we could do as we go out into our world, as we try to bring the light and the love and the restoration of the good news of Jesus? What would that look like? Let me read us another story, our second story here. This one's from Matthew 8. Here, Jesus is working with a Roman. So obviously, he doesn't follow God, probably. He doesn't know any of these things. We could say he's from outside of the church. This is what the story says. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" But the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." A little later it says this, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, go. Let it be done just as you believed it would," and the servant was healed at that moment.
There's that.
I think this is interesting. We often, obviously, we pray within the church. I don't know about you, something that I have found is even if somebody isn't a Christian, sometimes in times where maybe they're sick or a loved one is sick or they aren't doing very well, like we see in this story with this Roman man, they might come to us and ask for prayer. Have you ever found that? I find that sometimes. Sometimes non-Christians will come and they'll ask for prayer in moments of desperation. And what a beautiful opportunity for us to bring the light and the love and the restoration of the good news of Jesus outside of the church. So I read this story to encourage us. So this is something we want to practice within the church, but also, how can we be thinking of those who are outside of the church to be praying for restoration for their lives as well? As we've been looking at these stories, maybe you've noticed, and as you read the stories of the Gospels, of Jesus' ministry, or in the book of Acts, as they're praying for the sick, something I always notice is their prayers sound very different than our prayers. Do you notice that? Let's look at an example. We looked at this one last week too. Acts 3, this is Peter. He sees someone who can't walk. He's walking along, sees a guy, he can't walk. And think about it. If we saw someone needed prayer, couldn't walk, how are we going to pray for them? We kind of have a formula for prayer, which is good. I think this prayer is so interesting, and this is a very similar prayer to ones that Jesus has, right? This is Peter's prayer for healing. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." That doesn't really sound like a prayer that we would often pray, does it? This is the prayer that often this is how Jesus prays for people who are sick as well. It's quick. This is how we see the New Testament disciples, how they pray. And friends, I think what this prayer has to do with is this has to do with they know they walk in the authority of Jesus. They're not just begging that Jesus would come and do something for them. Friends, Jesus loves the person we're praying for more than we ever could. We can walk in this authority of Jesus. Let me read this verse for you, Ephesians 2. It says this, and God raised us up. If you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, God raised you up and with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Think about that. If you are a follower of Jesus, think about where you live. You're not just you going about your life. You're not just you going about your ministry, but you right now are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. How does that completely change our perspectives as you're praying for someone? You're not praying out of your own power, but you are seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. And that is the authority and the place that we pray out of. I want to talk for a little bit. There's this Alliance author named Doug Balzer, and he talks about this kind of stuff quite a bit, how to pray for people, how to do this. He calls this, as he's talking about this verse, he calls it living from above. Really remembering our position and our authority in Christ, that we are not just us doing work out of our power, but we are seated in the heavenly realms. When we pray, when we do our work, when we're praying for healing, this is where our authority comes from. Doug Balzer, he talks about this idea of kind of this declaring, right? Do you notice that? That's kind of how Peter was praying. He's not just asking God for something, but he's declaring something. This is what Doug Balzer says. He says, I didn't beg Jesus to do anything. I followed a simple prompting and declared the reality into being, right? A declaration. He says they, talking about the disciples, aren't asking Jesus to do anything. Instead, they're releasing something from the presence of God. Right? We are seated in the heavenly realms. We are in the presence of God. And when we pray for healing, what we're doing is we're releasing that presence into our world. Do you see how that's different? Do you see how profound that is when we walk in the authority of Jesus? In one of his other books, Doug Balzer, again, he kind of lists four things where we can learn from Jesus and his ministry as how he prays for people, how he prays for the sick. He lists these four things. The first is that, authority. The authority that he's given to his disciples, he's given to his church, he's given to us. We walk in the authority of Jesus. Jesus, he doesn't yell, he doesn't argue. He's not trying to convince anyone of anything. He walks in authority. The second is brevity. Isn't that crazy? Like, think of Peter's prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That's his prayer. That's a very quick prayer. The next, selflessness. Right? Jesus, the disciples, they're not asking for anything in return. They want to help people. And the last is compassion. When you look at the stories of Jesus healing people, it's so beautiful because it's so humanizing. Right, he looks at the person. Sometimes he looks at these people who are sick, who are kind of outcasts. He calls them friend. Maybe he touches them. He looks at them like they're actual people. He cares about the person, not just the sickness. These are a few practical things we can learn from Jesus and his ministry, how we can pray for the sick. Let's keep moving in a little more practically. How do we do this? James chapter 5, it says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? If you're sick, what do? Let them call the elders or the leaders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So here really, we've been talking about how to pray for people, but here literally, James is saying, if you are sick, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Right? Go to people you trust. Go to people you know. Ask them for prayer. Here James, he's talking about a prayer of faith. Right in 15 he says, and the prayer offered in faith. What is that all about? This prayer of faith. He's obviously referring to the faith of the person saying the prayer, not the one receiving it. How do we pray in faith? I think first it has to do with what we're talking about, praying in the authority and the boldness of Jesus, praying in faith, and also maybe understanding that God is sovereign over all things and trusting in Him. Maybe we won't receive the outcome that we've been hoping for, but in faith we trust in God's mystery in that plan. James here talks about anointing with oil. Have you guys seen that? You know what that is? Yeah? There's a few nods. That's good. Anointing with oil, that's something that we do in the church, but I encourage you, this isn't just like something for church leaders to do. This is something that you can do as well. Maybe in your disciple groups, even in your family, you can anoint with oil. You can do it as a blessing or as a prayer for healing as well. How do you do that? The oil, it's not like a magic oil. There's nothing special about the oil itself. You can get any oil. You can buy anointing oils or just use like olive oil, something like that. It doesn't matter. Usually how we do it is you get a little bit on your finger and make the sign of a cross on someone's forehead as you're praying over them or as you're blessing them. And friends, this oil, it symbolizes God's presence. Probably even symbolizes this idea of being set apart for God, knowing that He will take care of you. Right? Like in the Old Testament, the kings would be anointed with oil. This is a practice that we're very obviously told to do here. The Bible says, anoint with oil. And I encourage you, this is something we can all be doing when we're praying for those around us, that we can be anointing. So how do we do this? Putting all that together, somebody's sick, they come to you. How are we going to pray for someone that's sick? Well, friends, with authority and with expectation, we release, right? Like we see Jesus and the disciples doing, we release healing over them, and we anoint them with oil. This is how we do it. It doesn't even have to be a long and drawn-out prayer. We release, right? You are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, and that's where you release His authority from. Then what? If they're healed, praise God. That's amazing, right? We can testify. We've seen that happen in our midst. But what if you pray and they aren't healed and you pray again and they're not healed? What does that mean for us? Does that mean that God isn't listening? What does that mean? Obviously, it doesn't mean God isn't listening. Let's dive into this a little bit. Does God want us all to be healed? I think that's an interesting question. Does God want all of us to be healed eternally? I think the answer to that is yes, at least in some way. Revelation 21, it talks about once Jesus returns in the redeemed and new creation, it says He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Eternally, we will experience this restoration in a beautiful way and this permanent healing where there's not going to be any more tears or death or pain. But that's not really the answer to the question, is it? We're more interested in here and now. Does God want all of us to be healed? When I read the Gospels, maybe you found this, it seems like everyone's healed. It happens all the time, right? It feels like everyone Jesus sees is healed. But let me read us an interesting story from John 5, where there's a lot of people who could probably use the healing of Jesus, but only one of them actually is healed. This is what it says. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" It's a funny question. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up. Notice the authority, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. That's an amazing story of healing, but isn't it interesting that, where Jesus was where a lot of sick people would have gathered, and only one of them is healed. Maybe that's just in that moment, right? Eternally, we will all experience this restoration. But I think as we read the Gospels, it's clear that, for some reason, not all of us are going to experience physical divine healing in this life. Of course, we still pray with, boldness and authority and confidence, but what does it mean? Right, what does that mean? We've probably all actually been hurt by this in some way, where we've been praying and we felt like it isn't answered. Where is God in those times? Let me read us from Hebrews 4. We've looked at this verse before. It's a beautiful verse. It says this, for we do not have a high priest, it's talking about Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. That word sympathize, literally in the Greek it's sympatheo, but what that word actually means in the original language is suffer with. That's what that word literally means, suffer with. So this verse, it has a double negative. It's a little awkward. Literally what this verse says is we have a high priest, Jesus, who suffers with us. What is God's response? If we prayed for healing and we've been bold and we did the oil thing even and we don't know what this means that I haven't experienced yet, where is God? We worship a God who suffers with us. Read Philippians 2, it says, Jesus, he lowered, emptied, and humbled himself even to death on a cross. Friends, this might not be the answer we want to hear, but in our suffering, we can come to know Christ even more as he co-suffers alongside of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says this, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Friends, in these times where, yes, we boldly pray with authority and expectation that, we will experience healing, but if we haven't, Jesus is so close to us in those times as the one who knows what it means to suffer, to experience pain, who lowered himself to us, and he comforts us with his presence there. There's this book that I really love. Maybe it's gone now. Oh, maybe it was back at the beginning, leaving, the Henry Nouwen quote. He has a book called The Wounded Healer, which is a really amazing title, Wounded Healer. And he says this, to announce, however, that the Liberator is sitting among the poor and that the wounds are signs of hope and that today is the day of liberation is a step very few can take. But this is exactly the announcement of the Wounded Healer. The Master is coming, not tomorrow, but today. Not next year, but this year. Not after all our misery is past, but in the middle of it. Not in another place, but right here where we are standing. Friends, our God enters into our pain alongside of us. So these last two sermons, we've kind of explored this broad topic, divine healing. What is this? And we've talked about this, that Jesus is our healer. That healing isn't our focus, blessing isn't our focus, but Jesus himself, he's our desire. So we talked about last week. And he is the one, when we don't always experience this healing here and now, that comes alongside of us, that walks beside us in those times of suffering. This is our God. This is who he is. Yes, we pray for healing and deliverance, and we pray boldly. But I want to read us one last story here as we close, leaving the Matthew 25. Perfect. This is what Jesus says. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, for you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. So this is kind of the journey. Maybe you know someone that's sick. You pray for them boldly, right? In the authority, you're seated in the heavenly realms. You pray boldly. Well, what if they're not sick? Of course, and they're not healed and they're still sick. Of course, Jesus is alongside of them. But friends, if we don't experience healing here and now, that's not an awkward event. It's not like awkward, like God didn't listen or what's going on. But friends, as we see in this passage, thanks be to God that this is an opportunity where we can love our neighbor sacrificially, where we can even love Christ who is represented by the least of these. Friends, Jesus is so close to us in the times where we feel low or suffering. This series, as we talked about a lot last week as well, is really all about how we, who are healthy, who are followers of Jesus, need to go towards the sick. Right? That's what Jesus shows us, how to go towards these people, not avoid them. Friends, we pray with faith and confidence. Right? How do we pray for the sick? We remember we are seated in the heavenly realms and we have that authority and we release that from the presence of God as we anoint with oil. And friends, can we also enter into suffering with those around us while they're in that place? So this is a big topic, probably a lot to chew on. We're going to have some time to discuss this. But first, I just want to pray that Jesus, he would come to us in this way, that first we would know that as we go about our lives, we walk in his authority. That it's not just you doing this, but you are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You have authority as you pray over people. But also, may we know Jesus as the God who enters in to our mess. Well, let me pray for us here today. Jesus, you are so good. We are just amazed at who you are, and we just invite you into this place today. God, would you challenge us to actually know that our prayers come out of your authority. Holy Spirit, would you just fill us and encourage us. Help us to grow in confidence in our prayers. Jesus, and help us to know that you're with us no matter what is happening, that you walk alongside of us and enter into our midst. Well, Jesus, we thank you. Pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us even this week. In your name, amen. Well, something we like to do is have some time to actually process what we've been learning and hopefully apply it to our lives as well. So I'm going to give you maybe 10 minutes to kind of discuss this, to talk about what we've been learning. And here's some questions for you. If these are helpful, feel free to use them. You don't have to. But I encourage you, find some people around you. If somebody's sitting and they haven't joined a group, feel free to invite them into your group. And take 10 minutes to discuss these things. And then we'll close with one last song here today.